Good evening. Tonight you're going to listen to a guy with a really strong accent, and then I'll sit down and our speaker will come up. We're glad to have Chris Hurd and his family, part of his family, here tonight. He's got Michelle and, Caleb and Jonathan and Summer with him. We're glad to have them. They left three behind on the other side of the world to hold the fort down, but we're real glad to have them. We supported Chris as a missionary since at least 2001. Most recently, he's been in Toowoomba, Queensland, Australia, and there, the family right now is actually in the middle of moving to New Zealand to start a work there in New Plymouth. So we're real glad to have him here to talk about what their work over there entails.
Good day, y'all. Good day, y'all. It's great to be here tonight.
I do regard the congregation here as family and really appreciate something that really moved my wife and myself last time I came here. You may remember that Bethel used to have a building. I think it was on Highway 72, is that right? 72. And when I came here last time, there was just a foundation. And I said to my wife, I don't believe that this congregation are going to be supporting us anymore. They've just lost their building. But I was shocked and humbled, and my wife cried when I told her that regardless of that, the Bethel congregation is still supporting us in our work. Only to learn today that Bethel didn't stop their support to any congregation. They've continued with all of the missionaries. What a great achievement. And as one of those missionaries who's supported by you, my wife and I want to thank you for your involvement in the work. Truly, it's a blessing to preach the gospel, to be involved in saving the lost souls around about this world. That's the end of my presentation there. I don't know where to go from here. There we go. Starting on a new leaf, the gospel, the presentation of the gospel, the opportunity to preach the gospel, it's a blessing in this country or any other country. In your Bibles, if you look in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, you'll see the words of Jesus. And Jesus said to his disciples, go into the world and preach the gospel, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I really love these verses, even though they're perhaps very familiar to us. We know them very well. I love these verses even more after a recent study that I've done in them. Because what I realize is within these couple of verses reads out a lot of responsibility. It reads out a responsibility to you and I, the responsibility to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. But not only does it read out a responsibility to you and I, it also reads out a responsibility to those who hear the word. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. So there we have the greatest of responses to the gospel, to hear, to obey the gospel, to be saved. And we also see in those verses the dread of not obeying God in this life, that they shall be damned, as the Bible describes. And if we think of what to be damned means, it means damned to a devil's hell, away from the Lord, from his presence and his glory, forever, eternally. And so those verses have come to mean a lot to me over the years. Coming out of the world myself, as you have, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want you to really think about what those words say. the gospel call, the responsibility of every Christian, and also the responsibility of those who hear the gospel to obey and be blessed. I often wonder about that when you think of common sense. You think of what most people want. Most people want what's best for them. Isn't that right about you? You want what's best for you? And God says, here's my message, the gospel. If you hear it and you obey, then you're going to be saved. You're going to be blessed with that abundant life, John 10:10. You're going to be blessed with that reward that's in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to the end of the chapter speaks of the second coming. When that takes place, you're going home as a child of God. But what about if you don't obey? Common sense would tell me, if I'm in that position, there's something I need to do. Yet so many don't do. So many choose to turn their back on the gospel. If you're here tonight and you've been hearing the gospel message preached, but you just haven't made that decision yet, I want to encourage you to do what Ananias said to Saul. Ananias said, "Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Throughout my life and my wife's life, there have been many conversions that we've seen. There have been many sad stories as well of people who haven't obeyed the gospel. When we think of the blessed gospel and the responsibility we have, we are thankful to those who help us preach the gospel. We preach the gospel now in Queensland, in South Australia, and in Tasmania. And there's the end of my slide again. Oh, there we go. That's just repeating itself. That's okay. We'll just go there. That slide there shows the family that we have with us at the moment. We're so blessed to see that our daughter, our eldest daughter, Chantelle, who you haven't met, I believe, many of you haven't met her yet, but she married a missionary. Patrick Swain is a man who is a preacher of the gospel from Florida. And she met him, they got married, and now they're working in Singapore as missionaries. And so we see that the blessing of having family who go on to do the Lord's work. If you're here tonight and you're members of a family, perhaps you've grown up in the church and you haven't known anything else but being in the church, don't take that for granted. You are so blessed to be in a Christian family. So blessed to be surrounded by those who love you and who want the best for you. And I want you to think in your life, no matter how young you are, what a blessing you can be in the kingdom of God as missionaries or as preachers and teachers or simply as those Christians in the assembly who shine their light for Jesus Christ for all the world to see. When we think of the Great Commission, one thing that overcomes us is this sense of the world is so big. How can we possibly preach the gospel to every creature? We can't all go and preach the gospel, but we can support those who do. And that's what I know Bethel are very active in doing, both as a congregation and as individuals as well. We want to thank you for all the help that you've given us. In Australia, we've got a lot of beautiful created animals. The one on the screen is the Australian possum. I love the Australian possums, but I'm sorry, brethren, I don't love the American possums. Your possums look like big rats. And when I think of Ned, he was a hand-fed possum. He lived under our house in Queensland. I'm holding it upside down. That's what it was. Ozzy is a blue-tongued skink. He is a lizard who was my pet. But as was mentioned earlier, we've moved to New Zealand. And so we couldn't take our animals with us. on the veranda of our home. We had the native birds coming, a lot of different varieties, but those are the rainbow lorikeets. When we look around us and we see the beauty of creation, we need to thank our God and be happy where we are. One thing that my wife said to me, I know it's not going to happen, but she said, I would move to Alabama in a heartbeat. I love Alabama. She wasn't singing Sweet Home Alabama, but I know she does love it. I do too. Australia and New Zealand are beautiful countries as well. On our property in New Zealand, we had a kookaburra. We had families of them. And when you have kookaburras, that tells you something if you're an Australian. It tells you that you're going to be woke up in the morning with a laughing bird's call, and when you go to bed, you're going to hear that kookaburra singing. But it also tells you that you've got snakes on your property. And we had a lot of snakes on our property. We had king browns and we had tiger snakes. And it always reminds me of the Garden of Eden. And we think of how the devil is represented as that serpent and how much we fear snakes. Is there a reason for that? I want to just show you some of the works that the church is able to do. You, brethren, have been able to help us in our work in Toowoomba. From 2010 to 2011, we had 10 baptisms in that congregation. From 2012 to 2014, we had another 19 baptisms. In fact, in the last 18 months, there were 19 baptisms. And we give thanks to God for that. That's not us. That is the work of the Lord and the power of the gospel. All we've been doing is what the Lord sent us to do, to go and preach the gospel. And you may not realize it, but what you've been doing as a congregation has helped to achieve these benefits in other parts of the world. How shall they go unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. When we think of the preaching of the gospel, are there any young men here who are thinking about preaching the gospel? I want to encourage you, stay true to the gospel. Seek after truth. Save souls. The Bible teaches us that to save souls makes you wise. What a blessed way to live your life, saving others. If there are young men here who are thinking about preaching, let no one deter you from doing that, knowing that it's a blessed way to live. Not only that, the rewards that come from that. We also saw that apart from the ones that we know of, the 29 souls that have been saved in our work during that time in Toowoomba, that there was another one saved who just listened into the radio program every week. And as a response of that, she contacted a local congregation near her and was baptized. So people are reached remotely. People are reached directly as we interact with them. Some works that we've started in Toowoomba, and these works are ongoing. The radio program, Let the Bible Speak. Also a lectureship. We have YAG, which is the Young Adults Group. KFC, which is not chicken, I'm sorry to say. That's Kids for Christ. And also Leaders and Keepers is a program that my wife and I have started. And we have a Bible school that we've started within the congregation. We've established a radio work there. Who is that handsome guy? Sorry, I thought that people might see that was funny. But anyway, the radio program, I've been preaching on the radio since the year 2000, so 14 years in Tasmania, South Australia, and also in Toowoomba, Queensland. And that radio program is still going on by me sending them recordings of programs and keeping involved also with that work that's there. We've established an annual lectureship. Some of you may know of the Madison congregation in Alabama. Well, on the screen, you'll see Benny and Earlene Pinkley from Huntsville, Alabama. Benny came over and presented some lessons for us last year in our lectureship. The Young Adults Group have been a great encouragement. These young people have been getting involved in the Lord's work, in evangelism, in works of the church, and also the younger men have been starting to show interest in preaching and teaching. The Kids for Christ program that we're involved in has also become an outreach. The younger children, my wife and I thought, well, wouldn't it be great if they had one night just dedicated to them each month? So the first Friday of every month, we had the Kids for Christ group. And we found that the little children embraced this with such joy. And they wanted to be part of it. And we would have teaching, we'd have some food to eat. We'd sing some songs and play some games. But you wouldn't believe how motivated these children were. And how the bonds between the children and the adults started to grow. The Leaders and Keepers is something else that Michelle and I started. And this was to encourage the young men in reading the Bible, in praying, in song leading. And with the Keepers, to encourage the younger girls in skills around the home, cooking and keeping the home, things that would encourage them as they grew older to be wives and supporters of those who do the Lord's work. Every Tuesday night, we also had a study night in our home using the World Video Bible School curriculum. That's still ongoing. Somebody else has taken this over. In fact, every one of these works, and I'm sure it would be the same here, when somebody can no longer do the work, there's always somebody to take up the banner and carry that work on. And we're so thankful for that in Toowoomba. The ongoing works are the preaching. We have three men in Toowoomba who are preaching and teaching as well. We have many helpers in the work of the Lord there in Toowoomba. And a lot of that's coming from the new converts. If you're a new convert in the congregation here, you haven't been a Christian for long, don't think that you can't do anything. Study your Bible. Get to know what you can and use what you know to be of service in the Lord's kingdom. Letterbox dropping is what we call it, but you might call it pamphlet delivery or something like that. That's ongoing in Toowoomba. We're using the heart-to-heart, house-to-house publications. And we just want to thank you for being involved in that work in Toowoomba. The congregation have a lot of good, sound, strong people. And I believe they're going to grow continually. They're actually the largest congregation, definitely in Queensland and most likely in Australia, of sound brethren. We had an invitation to come over to New Zealand and help the brethren there, to begin a work abroad. You might think of moving abroad yourself. It's a big job. When you leave the home country that you've been in, my wife is a native of Australia, and so am I, and we decided to take up on this work of the gospel in New Zealand. They're a small congregation of about 50, including our family, so not a large congregation by any means. Alan Fowle, the man on the screen, was a preacher in that congregation and still preaches, but he also works full-time as a truck driver. So the congregation haven't grown for a long time, and they're wanting some help in that. You may remember in the book of Acts, chapter 16-17, the Macedonian call and the call to come and help preach the gospel. Well, our call was not miraculous by any means, but certainly it was a call to come and preach the gospel. And I just want you to know that if we go somewhere preaching the gospel and you are all supporting us, y'all supporting us, then you come and preach the gospel with us. And we're thankful to go to New Zealand and do this work. That is a shipping container, the inside of one. And our daughter Summer, she started the packing for us. You see that box inside the container? When we were moving to New Zealand, Summer packed a box of toys. And she went out and she placed it in the shipping container. And she said, "I've started the packing." And so from that point on, we just got busy. that summer's little bit of help there. From that point on, we started to stuff that container full of all of our earthly possessions that we could take with us. And what it reminded us of, you don't need much in this world. We don't need much. There are a lot of things that we accumulate that we really don't need. In fact, we had no choice. We couldn't take a lot of the things that we've accumulated. So we just took what we could in that container. The container arrived in New Zealand the same day that we came to the USA. So it has been amazing, an amazing couple of months for us. Our family, our children, they've actually lost their minds from time to time, and not having a house to live in, being travelling all over the world. It's exciting, isn't it? But it carries with it that sense of insecurity that we're trying to help our children over. The country of New Zealand, truly, it's been said by many, it's one of the most, if not the most beautiful place in the world. And I want to encourage you, if you're able to travel and you want to come and see us in New Zealand, please do. We would love to put you up. And I was going to say put up with you, but I don't mean that. Put you up and enjoy having you there. That mountain can be seen throughout the whole city of New Plymouth. And when we left home, it was snowing on the mountain. Can you imagine that? It's hot. It hasn't been as hot here as it could be, but over there it's been snowing. Isn't that amazing how we live on polar opposites? And we came here to enjoy the summer, and then we'll go back there to enjoy the spring into summer. So we've missed winter this year. That's the New Plymouth congregation, and we hope that you'll come and meet us one day. Our goals in New Zealand are to outreach and to edify. We want to build up the congregation there spiritually, and also to try and increase the numbers of the members who are there with your help. We're also aiming to establish 3 new congregations. In fact, I've just been coming to my mind that you may know the name Kent O'Donnell. Well, Kent is also a missionary in New Zealand. And Kent O'Donnell and some other missionaries, along with myself, will be seeking to establish new congregations, new works in New Zealand. So as these things go on, you'll be helping us in that as well. The 3 congregations are listed on the screen there. The radio work continues, as I mentioned. My website remains the same, sermonhome.com. And we ask, as Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. We pray for our needs, and we know that if we seek first His kingdom, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. We've made this move and we're praying for the work there, and we need the help of our brethren to do this work. What we're seeking from our brethren is extra ongoing monthly support. Also seeking to help with the relocation that we've just made. Sometimes brethren here in the US think that gas is expensive. In New Zealand, $10 a gallon for gasoline. Milk is about the same price. Average living costs there are 20% higher than Australia. And vehicle purchase, a 2008 model vehicle, you can purchase for about $14,000. That's amazing, considering we only pay about $5,500 in Australia. Just an indicator of the expense that is there. Any sacrifice that individuals can make, remember the church gives collectively, but the church also gives individually. And one of the hardest things for me to do is to ask for help when it comes to finances. But we know that if we don't ask, that we don't receive. And we ask, hoping there are people who want to give, who are able to help in the work. So whilst we're here, traveling in the US, if anybody would like to give to help us, we would gladly receive any contribution that you would like to give. Please help us in the work of the Lord. Continue to do the work of the gospel here If you're thinking of being a missionary, let me just give you one word of advice. If you're not being a missionary in your own country, don't bother about going anywhere else. We've got to be doing the work where we are. We've got to be busy saving souls where we are. And then when we're doing that, we can go and help other countries to save souls. I've always been told it starts at your doorstep. That's where preaching the gospel starts. And if you're doing the work here, if you're not doing it yet, please get involved. See the joy that comes from saving souls. The sending congregation we have is Elkmont, Alabama. They're a great group of people there, our brethren. We love them, as we do the brethren here. Thank you for helping us to take the gospel to New Zealand. Are you saved? Is there somebody here tonight who's not saved? I don't know all of the people here, but as most of the assemblies that I've visited, there's always somebody who hasn't obeyed the gospel. What's holding you back? There's only one saving plan that God has given: the need to hear, believe, repent of sin, confess Christ as Lord, and to be baptized by full immersion, then to live faithfully until death. If there's somebody here tonight who hasn't obeyed the gospel, may you be inspired by the Word of God. Of course, not miraculously, but the Word of God to impress upon your heart, as we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, Acts 2:37, when it reads, "They that heard the word were pricked in the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And then as we read down in verse 47, having favor with all the men and all men, and God added to the church daily such as were being saved. Have you been saved? Why not be saved tonight as we stand and sing our song of invitation? Won't you make your needs known? Won't you come forward? And if you need prayers of the church, we are here to pray with you. Make it known as we stand and sing, and God bless you.